good to see everyone. Good to see especially the kids here. And I know there's some people visiting. You're probably family of someone here at the church. So if that's you, if you're new here, we really warmly welcome you here. And we're really glad that we can celebrate Christmas Eve together. Christmas Eve this year is also the fourth Sunday of Advent. And if you're not familiar with that terminology, Advent, we've been talking about it a lot over the past month. And Advent is Latin for coming or arrival. And in the season of Advent, Christians celebrate two comings. One is Jesus' first coming as a baby in Bethlehem, and that's what we're celebrating especially today and tomorrow. And also his second coming, which we are very much waiting for. And as we look back with thanks and as we look forward with expectation, we're here together trusting and enjoying the Lord's presence together. Today we're going to be talking about a man named Simeon. And I don't know if you've... Actually, do you know anyone named Simeon? Anybody? You guys know people named Simeon? It's a very biblical name. So this Simeon is a really... really interesting. I would say he's a very wild character in the scripture. And his story is a little bit crazy. If you're ready for a crazy story, you've come to the right place. So we're going to be talking about this crazy story about a guy named Simeon. All right, and it comes from Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. And before we tell the story, please pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for your stories in your Bible. We thank you so much for the ways that you want to speak to us, the ways that you want to fill us with your joy, the ways that you want to fill us with your peace and your goodness. We pray that as we sit before your word, as we listen to your Holy Spirit speak to us again through this scripture, we pray that you would indeed fill us with joy and peace and your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your presence here with us. And in the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. And when the time came for their purification, and we're talking about Joseph and Mary, the parents of Jesus. So Mary, Jesus' mother, and Joseph, who is Jesus' stepfather, they have this rite that they have to go through called purification. And what happens is after about 40 days, after you have a son, the mother has to come to Jerusalem, to the temple, and go through this ceremony according to the law of Moses. And so Joseph and Mary is very righteous people of God who really want to be obedient to the words that he has given them and their people. They brought him, that is their baby Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Verse 23 explains, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves. Actually, I don't know what turtle doves actually look like. I think they're birds, right? They're kind of bird, yeah. Turtle is a little bit confusing. So they're not actually turtles, but they're turtle doves. And, or two young pigeons. Now, there is a man, so this is where we get to this man named Simeon. There is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. I'm going to stop just for a second there and talk about consolation. Consolation is a very big word. And if you're a kid of a certain age, maybe you've just sort of started using that word, or maybe you don't know what that means. Maybe as an adult, you use it, but it's good to get a refresher of what this word consolation means, because it's a very big word. Consolation, I'll put it really simply. Consolation is when you're very sad about something and someone makes you feel better. That's basically what consolation is. Consolation is when you're really sad about something and someone makes you feel better. Simeon's people, called Israel, were sad because they were being controlled and treated unfairly by a powerful empire called Rome. But Simeon knew that they weren't the only ones who were sad. Not just Israel was sad, but people everywhere, all over the world actually, even the ones that had nothing to do with the Roman Empire, were sad because God was far away from them. They were sad because people hurt each other all the time and did terrible things to themselves and to one another. They were sad because they felt that a lot of the wrong things they did were not forgiven and maybe were never going to be forgiven. And Simeon, according to Luke's story here in Luke 2, Simeon was waiting for consolation from God. Now, this Simeon was a very special person. Luke says that the Holy Spirit was on him. And Luke says that about special people generally. He later says that about the whole church, actually. But if the Holy Spirit was on him, that means the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. The Holy Spirit would talk to him. And one way Luke describes that is saying the Holy Spirit was on him. And what did the Holy Spirit say to Simeon? I guess he said a lot of things, but Luke says one thing he said, and this is where we'll go back to the story, verse 26. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit, and this is where it gets wild, that he would not see death, that is, he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Messiah, the one they were all waiting for. That is, he wouldn't die before he saw the one who would bring consolation to the whole world. Now, this is pretty crazy promise. So, if God promises something, it's as good as done. Amen. All right. Yeah, come on, church. Yeah. If God promises something, it's as good as done. Amen. So, to go from there to a stupid example, if he promises you a Lego set, it's as good as done. You might as well clear some table space because that Lego set's coming. And God promised Simeon that no matter what happened to him, no matter how sick he got, no matter what injuries he got, no matter how many times he might have gotten run over by a horse, say, he would never die. Not before he saw the person sent from God who would bring consolation to the world. So maybe a good nickname for Simeon would be like, actually, in a historical church, like in the Orthodox Church, he's known as Simeon the God Receiver for reasons we'll get to in a second. But I think another good name for him would be Simeon the Unbreakable, because he is really unbreakable because of God's promise. Nothing could stop him, because if God promises something, it's as good as done. And he promised he would not die until he saw the one who would bring consolation to the whole world, who would take all these things that cause sadness and help people feel better. This is the one that he's waiting for. This is the one the world's waiting for. And until Simeon saw him, God promised he wouldn't die. He's guaranteed to see this one who would bring consolation. So it's like, Simeon, don't eat that piece of cheese that's been sitting on the table for a week. Simeon knows God's promise. He's like, that's all right. So I'll eat it. Oh, I know you're hungry, but that cheese has been sitting there for a week. I'll take my chances. Or maybe he talks like a deeper voice, like, I'll take my chances. You know, he's like Simeon the Unbreakable. You know, Simeon, don't jump off this third floor to the ground. You might hurt yourself. We're too high up. I'll see you downstairs. Simeon was probably like the main fireman of his town. But there's one bad thing about being unbreakable. And that, well, I guess you could think of many, but one thing is that he's still waiting for the one who would bring consolation to the world. He's probably asking things like, when is God going to let me see this person? When am I going to stop outliving all these people I care about who have died and I have to keep making new friends? When is God going to stop the suffering of my people and the suffering and pain and the aloneness of all the people in the world? When is God going to bring consolation to all our brokenness and our sadness? God, I'm still waiting. And then one day, this is crazy, one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to him again. And the Holy Spirit said, go to the temple. And this is the same day that Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus go to the temple to do their purification. So we'll pick it up in verse 27. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, so this is what's happening. One day the Spirit speaks to him, the same Spirit who promised that nothing would happen to him. He wouldn't be able to die until he saw the one who would bring consolation to the world. And the Spirit speaks to him and tells him to go to the temple. And guess who else is yep? Guess who else is there? It's Jesus, the baby Jesus, and his good, righteous parents, Joseph and Mary. And he saw them. Simeon saw them. And then he saw him. He saw this baby Jesus. And maybe he rushed past people like he's pushing people left and right. And he says, get out of my way because I'm so excited. Finally, finally. You know, actually, it's really interesting. This Simeon. So, I kind of like any epic story. So I know there's like a new Star Wars movie out. So that's like an epic story. And so you know how you have like main characters like Han Solo, Princess Leia, and so on. But then you also have these like minor characters that show up. And they're just there for like a scene. But they still get like toys and all that stuff, right? There's toys made. Like who is like Lars Santeca? Or I don't know, some random like Lobot. Who's Lobot? And, but, you know, they have a role in the story. And then sometimes if you get deep into this Star Wars world, like you'll hear, like, there's like fiction that's been like non-canonical kind of stuff, right? And there's all these like backstories that have been given to these people. Like, oh, they actually, Lobot was from this planet, da, 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 right? And the same thing actually happens for the Bible. So over the years, people give backstories to people. And so there's this backstory about Simeon, actually. Simeon the Unbreakable. And there's this backstory. We don't have to believe it because it's not in the Bible, but it's just sort of interesting. Simeon was apparently 200 some years old when he met Jesus. Do you believe that? I guess he's unbreakable, and God promised it's done, so it's possible. But I don't know. He could have been like young. We don't know. But anyway, this Simeon has been so excited, has been waiting for so long, maybe 200 plus years, to see this person who would bring consolation to the world. He's so crazy excited. He's rushing past people, or I don't know, maybe he was cool about it. Like, oh, yeah, and then he like puts his hand in his pocket, like, that's all right, you know, be cool, be cool. But then he gets to this little family, and Luke says he took the baby Jesus up in his arms. I would guess he asked permission from Joseph and Mary first. It's like, oh, excuse me, you know, your baby's kind of special. Can I hold your baby for a second? But then he holds the baby, and maybe he's lifting the baby up to God, and he prays, and he just can't help it. And he says, and I think this is where even if he was trying to be cool, he can't be cool anymore. And he praises God, and he says, God, now that I've held this baby in my arms, my life can end. This is who I've been waiting for. This is who the whole world has been waiting for. He says, you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And to say that again, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And that's a story. That's a story of Simeon. Now, why does Luke tell this story? Like, he probably had hundreds of stories to choose from. And why did he pick this one about this guy named Simeon to put in his book? And it's not a super long book either. So why did he pick this story? Why was it so important? Why was it so special? And I can think of at least two reasons. And the first one is, I think Luke wants us to know without any question, without any doubt, that Jesus is the one who will bring consolation to all people everywhere. Jesus is the one to connect people of all kinds to God. Jesus is the one who will forgive all our sins. Jesus is the one who's going to let the whole world know and let the whole world feel how much God loves them, how deep God's feelings are for them, how much God wants to be close to people. I think that's the first reason. He says, Simeon received this promise, and it finally came true. And I guess we can sort of reason that after he saw Jesus, he could finally die. I don't know if he died like right away, or if he like, let me just test this, and he just had that old cheese. I don't know, but somehow he finally died. And the second reason I can think of that Luke tells this story is that Luke, I think, wants us to pray like Simeon. All right, he wants us to pray like Simeon. And this is his prayer one more time. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon was living at the time that Jesus was born, and we are living after Jesus' birth. So we can praise God just like Simeon for sending Jesus to us with excitement, with happiness. And here's a great word for what Simeon felt and what we feel too. It's three letters. Can anyone guess? Extreme happiness, extreme excitement, three letters. Joy. That's right. That's a great word. Joy. Excitement, happiness, relief, joy. And so we pray, thank you, God. This is so awesome, God. This baby boy is so awesome, and it's normal for us to smile, to laugh, dance, even cry because we're so happy as we pray. And one other thing, we're still waiting for Jesus. Like I said earlier, in Advent, we're looking back at Jesus' first coming, and then we're looking forward to Jesus' second coming. And we're still waiting for Jesus, and we know he's coming because God promised us that. And if God promises something, it's as good as done. And he promises that just like he promised Simeon something. And we don't have the same promise. It's not that we'll be unbreakable. So kids, don't eat that cheese that's been sitting there. Don't jump from too high up, all that. But God promised us that he is going to send Jesus to us again to finish the consolation that he started. Jesus is going to come again to take away for all time, for good, all sadness, all pain, all aloneness, all fighting, all unfairness, all disease, all death. He's going to bring full and deep and lasting consolation to the whole world. So the way we wait is like how Simeon waited. So ready. Ready for when God's going to keep his promise. Ready to see Jesus. And we even pray stuff like, Jesus, come soon. Jesus, we're getting ready. We're thinking about the things you want. We're treating people the way you want us to. We're doing what you did. We're getting ready to see you. We're getting ready to see you. We're getting ready to see you and to praise you. And we wait. And this is the other thing. We wait. Not just for ourselves, not just for our own family or friends or our own country. That's too small. We want to be big-hearted like Simeon. Simeon had a big heart because he was waiting for the consolation of all people everywhere, not just his own friends, not just himself, not just the people he knew. And God wants us to have a big heart too, big enough that we want Jesus to bring consolation to everyone. And so we pray like Simeon. We're ready. And we're ready for you to come bring consolation, not just to my friends and my people, but we're ready for you to bring consolation to everyone, to this whole world. it's really important for us to be big-hearted. Have you ever heard someone sing this song, Joy to... Do you guys know that song, Joy to the World? I know we've been singing it with church lately. Have you ever heard someone sing that song with small-hearted lyrics? It's not so great a song. This is how it goes. Joy to just the people I like and know. The Lord has come. Let just my family and friends and nobody else receive their King. Let some certain kinds of hearts that look a certain way and like what I like prepare him room. And only some parts of the world sing. That's not a great song. But a great song, and a song that Simeon the Unbreakable would sing. Simeon, the so ready, the unbreakable, big-hearted Simeon. The song that Simeon would sing goes like this. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth, the whole earth, receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature, that's a poetic way of saying everything. Let heaven and nature sing. And that's how we pray like Simeon. And I think that's why Luke put this story in there about this kind of weird guy, unbreakable, big-hearted, so ready Simeon, for us to pray like he did. Amen? Please pray with me. Please pray with me, and I'm going to just give you a moment, just in your own way. Can you express to God your happiness, your excitement, your relief that Jesus came? And can you express the excitement that you feel about Jesus' coming that we're waiting for, that God promised? Can you express your J-O-Y, your joy? You can say things like, God, I'm happy, I'm excited. I can't wait for you to come. I feel joy. You're great. You're good. I know your promise is real, and you'll keep it no matter what. I'll just give you a moment to pray in your own words, in your own heart. And then after a moment, I'll pray for all of us. Lord God, we are so thankful. You make us happy. You make us feel relieved. You make us feel consoled as we think about how you've forgiven our sins. As we think about how you didn't leave us alone, but you came to us, even as a baby, to live with us and eventually die for us. Lord, we're so excited and thankful that you're going to come again soon and finish the work you started. Lord Jesus, we can't wait for you to return. And we're filled with excitement. We're filled with joy as we think about what you're going to bring, what you're going to do. We're filled with excitement and joy as we think about your consolation, about all the sadness and disease, all the hatred, all the death, all the aloneness that you're going to take away forever. Lord Jesus, we pray that you're going to come soon. But while we're waiting, Lord, we're going to pray like Simeon. We're going to be big-hearted, Lord. Lord, we pray that people everywhere could know you and be ready for you. Lord, we're trusting in your promise, and we're ready for your return. Lord, we pray these things to you in your holy name. Amen.